rights, to life, to health, to freedom from racial equality. And what they've learned and what we've learned as the representing them in this litigation is that we can bring our government to account for human rights violations. And this is a case that's currently pending with the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. It's a judicial authority that has jurisdiction over our government for human rights abuses. And they found that what we've shown taking place in Mossville, which is similar to communities all across the country where permitting law disregard basic rights to health, where people are daily exposed to toxic chemicals, that these kinds of laws warrant a review by the Inter-American Commission to make a determination as to whether our government should be doing to protect human rights. And right now we've got an entire body of laws, a system of laws for protecting our environment that disregards basic human rights.
Can you talk about the issue of the environment and race, the issue of environmental justice?
Well, sure. What we find across the United States is that what's going on in Mossville is part of a large pattern, a national pattern, that has found that some 79% of neighborhoods that are predominantly African American are also the places where high levels of toxic pollution, dangerous levels of pollution, are released. And this is according to EPA's own studies, the Environmental Protection Agency's. Other studies by both governmental and non-governmental organizations show that when it comes to people of color, indigenous peoples, African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, where they are predominant in a particular residential community, you will also find toxic, hazardous waste facilities and petrochemical operations going on there.
Mossville, name for an ex-slave who founded this community.
That's right. Last name Moss, and the Moss family members of the descendants are still there. Mossville is a really interesting community because it's not like a place where people move, you know, after 5 or 10 years. This is a community that has been there, descendants of that have lived there, families who have been there for generations. And so people who live in Mossville can count back to their founding settlers. The president of Mossville Environmental Action Now, whose name is Dorothy Felix, she talks about being a young child as her father and uncles cut the roads in the area to access the place where they would build the homes. And then from there to, you know, build the piping and the infrastructure and go on from there. And so each family has that memory of what it took to settle this place and have a sense of the community that they have, that real value for the historic value and also pain over what it has been. Has become with the pollution and the industrialization that's taken place all around
them. We're going to have to leave it there as we head back to New York, but we certainly will not continue. Will not stop continuing this story. I want to thank you, Monique Harden, co-director of Advocates for Environmental Human Rights here in New Orleans, and thanks to John Barry, vice president of the Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority East, author of Rising Tide. Lost his bid for renomination Monday because he has led a lawsuit against the oil and gas companies, against 97 of them. Special thanks to South Wings and the Gulf Restoration Authority, who took Democracy Now! Sam Alkoff on an aerial tour of the Gulf. To see that video, you can go to democracynow.org. Also, special thanks to the local crew here in New Orleans Public Television, Anna Maria Beck and Tom O'Connor, Marina Colorado and Kenny Juno and Chad Dosher and Donovan Joseph. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Renee Felsar, and Mate Nermin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Masood, Robbie Karen, Dina Guster, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman. Special thanks to the folks here at WLAE, New Orleans Public Television. You can go to our website to see the transcripts, the video, and the audio broadcasts of Democracy Now! Also, special thanks to Dennis Moynihan, to Julie Crosby, to Becca Staley, to Mike DeFilippo, and to Miguel Nogueira. And we have two job openings at Democracy Now! We have a Linux IT administrator, and we have a job in development. You can go to our website at democracynow.org for all of that information. And to see our show yesterday from here in New Orleans, go to democracynow.org as we looked at the case of Herman Wallace and also the case of Henry James out of prison after 30 years exonerated. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Monday, September 30th. Steely Dan will be at the Beacon Theater. City Winery welcomes James Cotton and Daryl Nullish. Wet Ink Ensemble and Evan Parker will be at Roulette in Brooklyn. American Babies will be at the Brooklyn Bowl, 8 p.m. Naturally 7 will be at the Highline Ballroom. Angela Morris will be at the Two Moon Art House and Cafe in Brooklyn. Signal Brass will be at Spectrum, 9 p.m. Emily Earle will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, 10 p.m. Scuba Tiger with Bud Spadola will be at the Velvet Lounge in Isatawka, 9 p.m. Luke Winslow King and his band will be at Joe's Pub Manhattan, 9:30. Your concert billboard for Tuesday, October 1st. Jim Petterick and the Ides of March will be at B.B. King's, Manhattan, 8 p.m. Steely Dan will be at the Beacon Theater, 8 p.m. The Oliver Lake String Ensemble with special guest Vijay Iyer will be at Roulette in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. David Bromberg Big Band will be at City Winery at 8. Looking ahead to Wednesday, The Flaming Lips and Tame Impala will be at Terminal 5, 8 p.m.
This is the WUSB On Air Concert Billboard. Combined with the Facebook and website versions, with all these choices, you have no excuse to be bored. Not even on Monday and Tuesday.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook, 1 minute after 6 o'clock time once again for Off the Wall. Thank you. And it's another exciting edition of Off the Wall here on WUSB. And it's Emmanuel, joined by Kyle.
Hi.
I'm sorry if I'm still mad at you, but I really wanted to go to a national park today. And what did we do? We planned this, all right? And
I packed up.
We get to the national park, and that's when they tell us that it's closed because of the government. I just think you could have known this. I have other things on my mind, you know, and...
Well, you said that it was a likelihood that everything would be open. We could go and have a nice picnic.
A likelihood everything's going to be... If things are usually open, yeah. It's not a likelihood. It's a certainty. I expect things to be open. All the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially parks like that.
I mean, it's my right as an American. As anything, really. But it's my right.
And I just wanted to take it in and, you know, relax a little bit.
And so, we can't go there. Apparently... Of the 400 or so other national parks that I had as alternatives, we can't go to any of them.
None.
Yeah, so we had to run in here at the last minute because we just found that out. And, fine. If we can't go to a national park today, at least I can get a new Social Security card. But no, apparently you can't do that either. I couldn't get a new Social Security card. I was looking forward to that.
Yeah, I had a couple I had to pick up, too.
And there's all kinds of other things that we couldn't do as a result of... The shenanigans going on in Washington, D.C. right now. Yes, it's October the 1st, 2013, the day that the government shut down.
Things get scary.
It's great. You know, you turn on CNN and they have this this count-up clock. It's 18 hours and 9 minutes. I don't know what you're supposed to do with that information. It's day one, 18 hours. I guess the day changes and then the clock resets. You have to wait till midnight to find out.
Yeah, who knows how long they're going to keep that tally going.
Really, how long will they keep it going? Do they have... Can they do double digits in a day? Can they do triple digits?
Will they keep just measuring it in hours or minutes or... It's going to be interesting to watch. It's everybody's talking about it, though.
Everyone's talking about it. It's something to talk about, you know? Wolf Blitzer says he hopes it's going to end soon, but I don't think he does. I think he wants it to keep going because, you know, it's an easy topic to talk about all the time.
Yeah, and everybody's wondering, how's it going to affect me? Like, what does that really mean when the government shuts down? And is that a good thing? Like, is that a good thing for the government workers? Or?
There are people who say that they think it's better if the government shuts down, stays shut down. They'll save a lot of money that way.
Yeah, a lot of people are trying to figure out, what does that mean? What does that mean for me? What does that mean for the process?
It means you can't go to a national park. That's what I found out. It means Definitely. You can't get a new Social Security card. It all, you know, in all seriousness, though, it does mean that the poor people of this country suffer because their benefits run out before anything else happens. Congress, they still get paid. You know, the military still gets paid. Because they passed a last-minute thing saying, okay, you know what, we're going to act like idiots for a while, but let's at least pay the military so we don't have a coup on our hands.
Right.
But, you know, they couldn't pass a similar type of law for poor people or the elderly or people who really need benefits that are being cut off as a result of all this nonsense. Oh, but you know what? You still have to pay your taxes. That doesn't get cut off. It's a one-way street.
Yeah. And a lot of people, food benefits and things like that are important, you know, checks and... benefits that they're expected, and it's interesting timing too, because a lot of things are going on with regard to lifestyles and the way the public interacts with the federal government. There's been a bit of a discussion about healthcare in the country.
Well, they're going to get into that, believe me, but the effects of it's good that they're both happening on the same day. It makes it really interesting.
Yeah,
but just trying to gather a list of all the things that are affected. We were in a bar earlier. We go to bars earlier every day, it seems. And this time, there was something on the television set that was a scroll about a particular type of football team, a collegiate, some kind of Navy
or Army.
Yeah, one of those teams. I can't figure out how that works exactly, but it's a team that's also a military chapter.
Affiliated with a military college.
And it just said that they're canceling their games because of the government, because of the federal government. That's literally what it said. I said that earlier in jest, but they said it either in jest themselves or because they didn't know any better, but not because of the federal government shutdown. The games are canceled because of the federal government. I just thought that was priceless.
Yeah.
not as priceless, though, as some of the Republican arguments I'm hearing about why this whole thing is taking place. We were listening to some right-wing talk show the other day. They're fun to listen to, and I think that's why they get such high ratings. But somebody actually, and not just a crazy caller, but a representative, was saying that this fight is about Americans' right not to have health care. That was literally what they were saying. We want to stand up for Americans' right for the freedom not to have health care or health insurance. Maybe that's how they said it. Yeah. So it's a right that they see. Your right to not have insurance. And what kind of convoluted, crazy logic is that? I mean, yeah, okay, you might be able to convince some simple-minded people that you're saving them a few hundred bucks a month by saying, yeah, you don't have to have this. Assuming that they're somebody who would have to buy insurance on their own and their employer wouldn't supply it to them. That only goes so far. Yeah, you might save a few hundred bucks, but when you actually need health insurance, you're going to feel the pain of that, quite literally, of not being able to cover expenses, of losing your home, of having to sell off your priceless possessions. And that's something virtually no other civilized country does, and we still do. And so, yeah, that's the right that they're fighting for, your right to continue to be miserable while they're covered. And you better believe the people that are voting to keep the government shut down. Now, I'm talking about the House Republicans. I think for the 45th time now, they've tried to repeal Obamacare. These people are covered. They have health insurance. Believe me, they are covered. So, the day that they all drop their coverage and don't replace it with anything because they have the right to not have insurance, that's when I'll believe that they actually are standing up for something that they support themselves for as individuals. But what they're actually doing is simply trying everything, every trick in the book to drive this presidency into the toilet and just to fight on every single instance. I mean, for one thing, the whole Syrian thing that happened over the past few weeks, you know, at one point Obama was about to go in. We were talking about this. He was about to go into Syria. And Republicans are like, no, wait, you can't do that because, well, we wanted to do that first, but he did it. Damn it. All right. We have to be anti-war now. It's going to be hard, but we got to be anti-war because Obama is for it. And then Obama went the diplomatic route. And now, oh, wow, you're negotiating with them now. Oh, boy. Well, you should have gone to war. You had the chance and you backed out of it. Now you're talking to Iran. Wow. Basically, their job, their mission in life is just to disagree with everything he says. If he says the sky is blue, then suddenly the sky will be orange. Mark my words. And I've had conversations like that with people where we're discussing something and it's like, you know, this is like a Twilight Zone episode because less than 10 years ago, you would be supporting exactly what it is that you're condemning now. You know, I'm upset that the policies are so similar. But these guys really think that they can pull the wool over people's eyes this easily. And I don't think this time people are buying it. I think this time people are seeing, wow, these people are real idiots. Well, not idiots so much, because they do know what they're doing. Just conniving, sleazy, slimy. I need a noun. I need a noun to end this description. I can keep going with adjectives. I can keep going indefinitely.
Human-like beings?
That doesn't do them justice.
Mm. But it's a lot of the things that they cite, the reasons that they say the healthcare is something we shouldn't support are things that don't necessarily affect them directly at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're saying. And
Of course, they don't have to worry about these things.
It's just a heck of a lot of spin being attached to their insistence that Obama shouldn't have the power and shouldn't be doing things the way he's doing them. So
I have never seen such opposition to a president.
Yeah.
At any time. And keep in mind, you know, I lived through Reagan. I lived through both Bushes. All right. And they did some horrible things. Of course, they're not recognized that way now in our revisionist history. But certainly we can think back on George W. Bush and getting us into two wars and whatever other craziness that happened over those 8 years. And the opposition, and I think this is to the fault of the left, the opposition was not nearly strong enough. But one thing it definitely was not was anything like this. You did not see the Democrats in Congress blocking every single possible thing they could and standing united against Bush. You did not see that. I don't think it would have really served them to do that. I think they would have been seen as spoiled children. And you know what? I think these Republicans right now are being seen as spoiled children. They can't get their way. It's been, you know, we've been over this so many times. It was voted for. I'm talking about Obamacare now. It was voted for. I love how Obama has latched on to what they consider to be a deriding term. They called it Obamacare. He's like, yeah, you know what? That sounds pretty cool. You got my name in there. That's more than he was trying to do. But, you know, they voted for it in both houses of Congress. There was an election where Obama was reelected. If people were so anti-healthcare for whatever reason, that certainly wouldn't have happened. The Supreme Court said it was constitutional. Every time the Republicans have voted to strike this thing down, they get overridden by another part of government. It's not working. They need to move on. They need to accept the fact that they lost a fight and, you know, start planning for the next one. Start licking your wounds, doing whatever. But this is going to happen. In fact, it is happening. I'm looking right now at healthcare.gov. That website's not going away. That website is right here on our massive screen. And
I can see it.
Yeah. How are you gonna undo that? How are you gonna back up and pull the plug on healthcare that already has begun?
Yeah, and I don't think there's any way to stop this now. When people are going to sign up, they're going to expect this. And I think that they should. I mean, I don't think anyone will disagree in the fact that, like, before this, we didn't have as much. Like, the programs weren't as comprehensive as what this will be, and that everybody should have a backup or some kind of option and something to be competitive on a universal scale. And it's been done in many other places, and it's just generally a good thing. I don't see it as, like, really harming anyone.
Well, in all honesty, I don't know how good it's going to be because I haven't yet. I'm going to try it right now, actually, but I haven't compared it. I do know that the health insurance that I've been offered. And I don't work for a big company. A lot of people work for big companies, and they get health insurance from their company. And they probably don't have to worry because the company is paying for it. I don't think the company is going to have to pay any more for this. Basically, what this mandates is that companies have to provide it. Companies with, 50 or more employees have to provide health care, which is not unreasonable, and it's something that's happening now anyway. So when you see people saying, I don't think it's going to benefit me, it's not that they're against it. It's that they're already covered because they work for a big company. But somebody like me, somebody like you who does not work for a big company, we're the kind of people that this could help. And certainly the kind of people that don't have health care, it can help them, especially if they get financial help in addition to it. The important thing is that we don't have people out there that don't have any health coverage at all. That is insane. That is not how a Western society should be living. It's not how other Western societies live. And we've seen how it succeeds in other places. Why are we so afraid of this? We're not. People, I don't think, are afraid. It's certain representatives of the status quo that feel that things cannot change. We can't have improvements in the infrastructure. We can't have people speaking different languages. We can't have the metric system. We can't have universal health care, because those things, they make people realize that, wow, change is possible. You want the populace to believe change is not possible. Just go to your 9-to-5 job, shut up, and pay your taxes, and let us have all the fun. I think that's what it is. I think I just figured it out.
Well, it's good to have, like, a baseline. And I think you've heard a lot of the coverage. They're saying that a lot of people cite, like, corporations that are having trouble. They think that this is a very expensive program and it's not going to. And, you know, I have a hard time believing that corporations are really hurt and, like, then having pity for them when so many people could use a comprehensive system like this and something that, like, provides affordable health plans and options for a system that really doesn't exist unless you're on, like, Medicaid. And
well, you know, what I have right now, the coverage I have is insane. Basically, the coverage I had before this was even more insane. I would basically go to a company to buy insurance, and every year it would go up by a minimum of 40%. Every year it would go up by 40%. What in anywhere outside of some country where the economy has completely fallen under a truck do you see that kind of inflation? So I was basically being asked to pay close to $700 a month for coverage with a $3,000 deductible. In other words, they wouldn't pay out a penny until I spend another $3,000 in addition to the $700 a month that I'm paying for nothing, for really not. And I don't use health insurance all that much. It's good to have. So what I finally wound up doing was getting a policy that nobody else wanted. I talked to an insurance broker about this, and he said, nobody has ever gotten this policy. You're the first one that's expressed any interest in it. And he was shocked, utterly shocked. And I'm used to this kind of reaction to the things that I'm interested in. But for $200 a month, I could get a policy with a $10,000 deductible, which means, yeah, it's nothing. I'm not getting any insurance. I know that. But at least I'm paying $200 a month for nothing instead of $700 a month for nothing. And if I do need it, well, you know, in 2 years, if you rack up the difference of like $500 a month between the $200 and the $700, you add that up, it comes to $10,000 within 2 years. So I've saved money if I just stay out of the system for 2 years. That's how you have to think. And it's wrong to have to think that way. And a lot of people don't have the options I have, so they can't even consider paying that kind of money. So now at least there is a way to solve these problems, and the problems are being addressed, looked at for the first time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of companies that provide insurance are going to be changing their policies and stuff like that. And it's interesting to see the reeling of the private industry and just realizing how much we do pay even when we are covered. Or, I mean, to imagine paying for healthcare, like, out of pocket for everything, yeah. It's just crazy. You know, so you do need some kind of help with that.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really crazy about this, and we've talked about this before. When you have health insurance, something kicks in, even when they deny you. So let's say I go to the doctor and I have a 5-minute conversation with them. That's $200 right there. That's how the system works. If I have no health insurance, I will keep getting bills for $200 relentlessly. They'll start calling. All kinds of things will happen. Helicopters will hover over the house with loudspeakers saying, you owe $200 to this doctor, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if I have health insurance, even the health insurance that I have right now, which doesn't cover anything, $10,000 deductible, as soon as I submit the claim, all of a sudden the price drops down to like $80. All right, they haven't paid it, but they've negotiated the price down. All right, and it's not covered, but now it's a new price because I have insurance in the first place. So it's kind of weird. It feels like it's covered, but it's not really covered, and the charge goes way down. So the people who need that the most are the people who don't have insurance, and they're the ones that are expected to pay full price.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been my experience as well.
In the Republican world, that makes sense. I just cannot get my head around it. It's so bizarre and weird.
Yeah, and I mean, they're private companies, and they'll do all kinds of other things. Like with your plan, you're lucky. I mean, I've had to change it around a couple times and really educate myself and figure out what's best for me. Mm-hmm. And I did the same thing and as like was able to negotiate and get like a higher deductible. And that then included like dental coverage as well, which I was really, really pleased about
because I never had dental coverage.
Right. Well, I didn't have it for a long time, and then I think I bought it separately for a little while because I had it through these comprehensive sort of company plans, like a company that's bigger than 50 people. I'd mm-hmm. had it in various ways before, so this was like a new thing, and then. When I reevaluated it, I found out, and this was after or right around the time that the Affordable Care Act was passed. So I was already seeing changes in the way the private insurer was handling their plans. They're basically offering more and like a higher deductible plan. And I'm interested to see what they're going to offer now compared to what the government is offering through this exchange. And it's interesting. I think a lot of people are learning about it.
Well, we're each going to take a look and see if we can do better online. We'll try it right now. Although I did try it before, and when I got rerouted to New York and tried to enroll, I got error 500, org.springframework.core.task.task rejected exception, executor Java util concurrent thread pool executor at AEE9EC22 did not accept task org.spring.framework.context.event simple application event multicaster $1 at 4A75FA. And of course, we all know what that means. It means that too many people are trying to do the same thing at the same time.
Yes. So, and I got a server connection reset.
Oh, you got that one?
Yeah, I went to a different site.
Did you print it out? Because I'm trying to print out all the errors that we get. Yeah, there's going to be hiccups, folks. It's going to happen. I'm surprised that, you know, House Republicans aren't sitting around a big table now, like doing a distributed denial of service attack on the Obamacare website. It's not beneath them to do that. But eventually it will work if you keep trying. There's no need to panic. Well, unless you really want to. Some people love to panic. we haven't talked about my tooth exploits on the radio. I think that's a fun topic.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I've been around. I've been.
You've been privy to it. But
I've witnessed this.
And dental insurance would have been nice in this particular case because I'm already like $2,500 in the hole for one tooth right now.
Yeah.
And this was a tooth that wasn't bothering me at all. But you know how it is when you go to the dentist. They say, oh, you know, I'm looking at this here. You see that little mark there? That's it's basically some decay, and that's going to give way. So we need to put a crown on that. And head that off before it happens.
Basically, we have to get rid of your whole tooth to stop this little bit of decay from starting.
It wasn't that much that they had to do, but they did do something. It was, you know, it was a pretty pricey, and they put a crown on it. And then it started to hurt.
Ow.
Then it started to hurt, and, you know, I waited a couple of weeks thinking that, all right, you know, this is going to die down, but it just sort of lingered. And, you know, when you tap the tooth, it kind of still hurts. So you realize, okay, there's pain there. I went back two times to have it looked at to see if maybe something was up. And then we decided to give it a little bit more time. And if in fact, it didn't go away, then we'd have to do root canal on it because the nerves were obviously upset at something, probably because they got invaded when they weren't hurting anybody. So, a couple of months went by and it was, you know, the pain kind of came back. So went for the root canal. And it just keeps piling up a tooth that wasn't even hurting me. And then pain after that, because it didn't quite, you know, the bone didn't quite react very nicely to all this construction work going on. I think it's finally easing up now. But, you know, I'm still going through this and it's not going to be over till at least November.
Yeah, you have to have a lot of faith in the preventative side of that. Dentistry is a bit funny.
It's a lot of blind faith, a lot of believing that, okay, you know what's best. But, you know, from now on, I think I'm just going to wait until I feel a twinge of pain telling me, okay, it's time to do something about this. And all the x-rays in the world aren't going to really – I know it sounds ignorant, doesn't it, because that's how you find things through x-rays. But it's just when you go through this and it lasts for months, literally, you sort of make all kinds of proclamations that might not be the wisest ones, but they're very emotionally charged. All right, listen, I'm going to go into the health insurance marketplace right now. Healthcare.gov, here's the site. So I'm clicking on this thing here. It says apply now.
Yes, right? A big green button.
And we've got a blue screen of death on a Macintosh. What does that mean?
Oh, no.
Only kidding. Choose your state and we'll tell you the next steps. All right, tell you your next steps. Well, if this was run by Republicans, my next steps would be head to a death squad now while they decide if you're going to live or die. I'm clicking New York because that is the state I live in. And then a little green button comes up saying visit New York State of Health now to apply. If you live in New York, New York State of Health is the health insurance marketplace to serve you. Instead of healthcare.gov, you'll use the New York State Health. Oh, it's a weird phrase, New York State of Health. Shouldn't it be like department in there somewhere? New York State Department of Health? The New York State of Health, I guess it's the state of health.
The state of health in New York.
So it's not New York State. It's New York State of Health.
So they would know the state of health.
So right away, you're going to give me a brain teaser like that before I even apply for anything. Okay. New York State of Health website to apply for coverage, compare plans, and enroll. So let's click this button and see what happens.
Okay.
And okay, I got further right away than I did before. Actually, no, what I did get to this stage before. Attention due to overwhelming interest in the New York State of Health, including 2 million visits in the first 2 hours of the site launch. The Health Exchange is currently having log-in issues. I think they meant to say log-in issues, but
wow,
they having log-in issues. We encourage users who are unable to log in to come back to the site later when these issues will be resolved. Well, this is later. I'm coming back, and I'm going to click on Get Started. Let's see what happens.
Mm.
Okay, page is loaded. So I can be a returning user with a New York State government ID, or I can be a new user. Click here to register.
So you register.
Do I have to do all that now? Can I just get a I just want to find out the prices. I don't want to register yet. I feel like, you know, they're taking, either I want my name, my email address, or I confirm my email address, preferred user ID. I got to do all this now? I just want to get an estimate.
There's a CAPTCHA, too.
Yeah, well, that's easy. Can figure that out.
Not if you're a robot.
Okay, so I guess I can't get the estimate now. That's disappointing because I'm sure as hell not going to give my personal information on this computer here, including email addresses and passwords and things like that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to back out of this and give you the opportunity as a native of Washington State to see if you do any better. You want to come over here and click away and tell the people what you're doing?
Sure, yeah. I'll look at it.
Just move the microphone over there. Don't worry, it won't make too much noise. Okay. So make sure that you click on you select Washington State from the drop-down menu.
Yeah, I'm really interested in seeing if it goes to the right site. So
well, we'll find out, won't we?
Not Washington, D.C.
No, you want Washington there. Okay. Go ahead.
That one. Okay, and there's another green button.
If you live in Washington, the Washington Health Plan Finder, and that's one word, Health Plan Finder, is the health insurance marketplace to serve you. Instead of healthcare.gov, does anyone use healthcare.gov? Instead of healthcare.gov, you'll use the Washington Health Plan Finder website to apply for coverage, compare plans, and enroll. Visit the Washington Health Plan Finder now to apply, Kyle.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to click on that green button. And it's loading something. I could not get anything. It reset the connection earlier.
Yeah, it's that little blue thing is halfway through the URL on the top of the... Okay, here we go. We've got a white screen now. It's loading.
Very slowly.
It's loading very slowly.
Some sort of... Yeah, okay.
Well, this is proof that Obamacare doesn't work, isn't it?
Well, and people would say that, wouldn't they?
Republicans are right, obviously. Yeah. I'm panicking right now. This isn't good for my blood pressure.
Yeah, and I'm interested in, you know, I'd get an individual plan. I mean, what do I do? Do I have to do the same thing, create an entire account and...
Okay, here you go. Okay. Find and compare health plans and apply for coverage. You have a choice I didn't have, so why don't you click find and compare health plans and see what you can get. Find health coverage that is right for you.
Click compare coverage.
All right, it's contacting wahealthplanfinder.org, W-A for Washington, healthplanfinder.org.
And I'm clicking the green button again.
So basically this this website, healthcare.gov, is links to all the other websites that actually do the work.
Yeah, there's like mirrors, it seems, for each state, which is kind of cool.
Okay, now we have a big white screen while the other page is loading with an incredibly long URL that, wow, it's like watching something print out at 300 baud, the URL.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is taking forever. It seems like the site, all of them really are under a lot of stress.
Oh, here you go. Your coverage.
Whoa.
Health Plan Finder offers you the way to find coverage for yourself and your family members. And doesn't she look healthy? Look how healthy she looks.
She looks really healthy.
Those big earrings, though. I don't know if that's good for her.
She's a law student.
You get an infection from that. That's Chelsea, a law student in Seattle, Washington. She says, it's a relief to know I'll never be denied health coverage because of my pre-existing kidney condition. Now I can get the care I need. And
wow.
It looks like that must be her family sitting in the background looking happy as well. Now you have two green buttons that don't have anything in them. And looks like an error below that. Get text common IND landing page dot link employer homepage return to home. Don't click that. Don't click that because that'll just swing you back. You can click on the blank green buttons. So why don't you just click on one of them and see what happens?
I will click on the first green button.
Yeah. This is how you hack your way to healthcare. That's what you have to do in this country.
No one said it was going to be handed to you.
No, no one said that. All right, let's get started. See, that was the right button to hit.
Oh, nice.
So you enter your zip code. Now, don't read your zip code out loud. And then you enter your county, which I assume you know. Okay, that's right. Want detail? Enter your birth date. I'll look away. Enter your sex. I'll also look away. Have you used tobacco regularly in the past 6 months? But it's just a checkbox. It's not a yes or no. So what does that mean? I guess you check it if it says if you mean yes. Okay. Estimated household income. I'll definitely look away.
I don't think the smoking one applies to me. And I'm going to do the income field, and that's,
income
I'll say
type annually. All right,
and,
show plans. And I click on show plans. Let's see what we got.
All right, let's see.
This is healthcare, Obamacare at work, live on the radio.
Wah Health Plan Finder. This applies to me. You got to go to your own state to find the exchange, and they have different comparisons. We were able to get a couple rough comparisons from a broker or something that we were referred to from the original healthcare site. But this would be more localized, I guess.
Well, right now you have a plan that has a high deductible as well.
Yeah, I've had private insurance for a while. I'm self-employed, so I just have had to talk to them, you know, a couple times when I wasn't covered or, you know, different things. Just there's hiccups. It's a pain. Or, like, getting tests that aren't covered. There's a lot that and then that changed since I had the insurance.
Estimated premium is $0 to $0. Everything is zero. Wow, this is kind of cool. You've got a good plan here.
Nobody
pays anything, and nobody compensates you for anything. I didn't see the red.
Error.
I didn't see the red writing. The Washington Health Plan Finder is currently unable to retrieve the plans available to you. Please call the Washington Health. Oh boy.
Wow.
Why would they be able to do it on the phone and not on their website?
What? Okay. All right. No, this will still work.
How can it work now, Kyle? How can it work? We can't get through
the
website. We can't.
We'll just have to come back later. But
come
I'm
back
not
later.
Give
you
up.
Know, how many
I'm
times have I heard
up.
That?
I'm not going to give up.
That's what they say at the hospital when you show up with, like, an arm missing. They say, come back later, you know, when it grows back or something like that. That's our health care.
Maybe if I switched to Spanish, it would work.
Why would you say that? No,
I
of course
know.
Not.
What if I speak French?
All right. Well, as we are demonstrating, there are some hiccups in the system.
It's going to take a while.
It's going to take a little while. It is the first day.
I'll come back to this.
It's been less than 12 hours since this site has been opened up. And you try opening up a site where tens of millions of people are going to visit it in short order. And I should tell you right there, so many people are trying to visit it. It's definitely got their attention.
Yeah, I'm convinced. I think it's working. I think people are really excited about this.
Well, it's not working yet, but I think it can work. I think it has to work. And it's about time that we have a system.
Well, when the leadership sounds as crazy as they are, and these really wild shutdowns and all this stuff, you gotta admit something's working. I mean, I think a lot of people look at maybe these today and tomorrow are as days to maybe get your plans in order with regard to healthcare. And I don't know. We'll see. It's you got to watch this kind of stuff and have some perspective because it's for people. And I think health is something just generally we should have as a country. We should really update the way we take care of ourselves as a nation.
Well, okay. I have an update on this. Let's see. The highly anticipated online blah 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 arrived Tuesday morning. But apparently there are some glitches in the system because of a greater than anticipated demand, more than 13 million hits on the first day, unanticipated pressure on the multiplayer game was experienced less than a day into it. Looks like Rockstar was right. Countless gamers have taken to Twitter.
Healthcare's not a game.
Oh, you know what I'm reading? I'm reading a story about Grand Theft Auto Online, which launched today.
Really?
Well, actually, no, it didn't launch today. It launched 2 weeks ago, but they're having trouble. Because of all these downloads and hits and people trying at the same time. 7 hours later, still haven't managed to get GTA Online working, one disgruntled fan wrote on Twitter Tuesday afternoon. And Rockstar, the company that makes Grand Theft Auto, took to Twitter also today, warning about tech issues, asked fans to please bear with us. Launch day issues are nothing new for the video game industry, which has long supported massively multiplayer online gaming environments in one form or another. So just think of the healthcare system as a big multiplayer online game right now that a lot of people are trying to use at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's a really excellent analogy.
Well, actually, it was a mistake. I didn't mean to read this story, but as long as I'm reading it, let me continue. Earlier this year, Electronic Arts faced an onslaught of criticism and online petitions for the botched launch of its online city-building game SimCity, which booted players back to the menu screen whenever they tried to log on, even to play the single-player component of the game. A year earlier, Blizzard suffered a similar fate at the hands of furious Diablo 3 players who saw an error message pop up when they tried to log into their accounts. So, you know, this seems to be a trend that whenever you have something that a lot of people try to do at the same time, it doesn't work. It doesn't work quite right. And now healthcare.gov is the latest in this series. It's like trying to buy, you know, tickets to a concert the moment they go on sale. It doesn't always work the way you want it to.
We must be patient, patience.
Yeah, we'll keep checking in and eventually we'll get healthcare, hopefully. Here's a story that is pertinent. Republicans forced an unnecessary budget crisis in their single-minded effort to dismantle health care reforms. That's according to President Barack Obama, who said this today, as frustration spread across Washington and the entire country on the first day of a government shutdown. In some of his strongest criticism so far, Obama said the shutdown intended to hinder government efforts to provide health insurance to 15% of the U.S. population that doesn't have coverage, adding it was strange that one party would make keeping people uninsured the centerpiece of their agenda. The stalemate in Congress that caused the shutdown continued, with Senate Democrats voting for a fourth time to reject a spending plan by House Republicans that sought to undermine Obamacare. This time, the House proposal also included a call for a conference committee to seek a compromise, but Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said Democrats turned down the package because it amounted to extortion by Republicans to force concessions on Obama's signature health care reforms. Reid said the Senate wants to negotiate a budget with the House, but not with the government closed. "We're not going to relitigate the health care crisis," he said, calling for the House to approve a clean spending plan to fund the government for a few months before separate negotiations on possible changes to the 2010 Affordable Care Act. "It's time for Republicans to stop obsessing over old battles."
I think that's a key word, obsessing.
Yeah.
It's really ridiculous.
Yeah, it really. And why? You know, why do they fear this so much? They have no trouble throwing billions of dollars into all kinds of other programs, especially the military, and for all kinds of questionable purposes. But this is something that is a proven workable project in other countries. It does work. What is it exactly they are so afraid of? I can't quite figure it out, other than maybe the theory that it symbolizes change.
Healthy people have more time to think, maybe. They're not racked with bills and, really watching their health deteriorate. And I don't know, that maybe they have an interest in not having healthy Americans.
I just can't see them.
I think it's the industries, though. I think it's like pharmaceutical.
Yeah, it's got to be that. Because
they've got to have a say, like, lobby-wise.
They're not obsessing over, I really want this person to have the right not to have insurance, like I heard on the radio. It's not that. It's something else. Like you say, it's the industry. It has to be. So shall we go into delay and take some phone calls, perhaps?
Please.
All right. Our phone number is 631-632-6901, and we'd be happy to take your phone calls in the time that we have left. We're going to seamlessly go into delay now, and we will see you on the other side of this legal ID. I think it's legal. We'll find out.
Hi, this is Neil Sean.
And this is Jan Hammer.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
And we're back. And we hope this worked. We hope we made it. Kyle, did you make it?
Yeah, I made it. My headphones made it, too.
Okay, yeah, we had a plan for your headphones with a second patch cord that might actually get you headphones in delay land.
I have headphones in delay land now. That's kind of cool.
Well,
wow.
I thought of this.
This is an incredible station with people like you, and I'm so impressed.
The thing is, the station, falling apart as it is, does have a lot of flexibility, and you can pretty much, assuming the piece of equipment is working, you can make things do other things. Like right now, you're using a tape deck that hasn't been turned on in over a decade, but you're using it for a headphone check, and we were able to patch around the alternative audio through the board so that you're hearing what happens in the past and not what's happening in the present, because that's, we prefer to live in the past.
Yeah. And we've got the ingenuity here at WUSB Stony Brook.
We do. 631-632-6901. Our phone lines are wide open. Do you have any thoughts on the government shutdown? Do you have any thoughts on Obamacare? And what's your perspective? Maybe we've got the story all wrong. It's possible, right?
Yeah. I'd love to be corrected. I'm learning a lot about this process. I think a lot of families are learning. People are kind of excited, but also, yeah, wanting to understand a little bit more about what they get and what they're paying for currently, if they have anything at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to know, other people's health plans, if they cover anything anymore, or if they're looking forward to this particular set of plans that healthcare.gov is going to show them, if anyone has been successful in getting through to that particular website, if I don't know, just pretty much anything. And, of course, anything having to do with the government shutdown as well. And our phone lines are dead. You know, it's, I don't know if it's Long Island. I don't know if it's our signal. I don't know what it is. But it could be aliens landing from outer space. Our phone lines would be dead. I don't know what it is. But when it's something that's not of major importance, then the phone lines light up. You know, I've got an ingrown toenail. I'll get a million requests for people to suggest things.
I don't think people make phone calls anymore.
Maybe that's it. Maybe people don't know how to make phone calls. If we asked for text messages or tweets or whatever people are doing these days, we'd get that.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to hear dramatic readings of tweets.
This country has gone to war several times, and no one has anything to say. Eh, doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm playing my massively multiplayer online game.
Okay, you know what? Let's talk about reality television. You want to do that?
Right.
Talk about reality television. I'm sure that'll get a lot of calls.
Right.
Because that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah. Honey snookums or...
I don't even know what these words mean.
Top ironing board. Right.
Guilt trip work. We have a call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. Congratulations on the government shutdown, and there is a good part of it. You know how today not a single person was able to get a gun license, right?
Oh, my God. You're right. Okay. Wow. I can't get a gun license today. Oh, my goodness. Well, okay, I am now for the government shutdown. It's accomplishing something. It's accomplishing more than when the government is in...
Is it not?
That's pretty cool. Why is it the only person who cares enough to talk about these issues is in Bulgaria?
I have no idea. Well, good luck with the... Do you know if the postal service is shut down or the...
No, because the postal service, I don't think, is part of the federal government, right? Even though it's USPS.gov, I don't think it's part of the government.
It's independently funded.
Actually, USPS.gov forwards to USPS.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't have license plates on their vehicles.
I remember at the government shutdown 17 years ago, the USPS, the postal service was shut down as well.
Well, I'd like to take suggestions as to what should be shut down. Maybe if we actually did shut down some things that people noticed, we might see some improvement.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think people, if the government asked you what you think we should shut down, it just seems like we're all wondering what affects us with a government shutdown. But I'm curious.
Oh, I hope everything turns out all right then.
Well, it's not going to turn out all right. It never does. We always have one crisis after another. Aren't we in some state where we didn't resolve the last budget crisis and it was some kind of state of financial woe that we would be in until it got solved? And I think people just forgot about that. I don't even remember what it was called, but there was a word everybody was using in D.C. Do you remember this? Like 10 months ago. I forget what the word is.
Fiscal cliff?
It was something like that, but no, it was a word. Someone help me out here. It was something, some kind of financial crisis that we had never faced before. And once we got there, it wasn't shutting down.
Yeah, that was this. Yes, I remember the word, but I don't remember the word. But I know what you're talking about.
It's wiped out of our memories. But
the sequester.
Sequester. That's it. Yeah, it was a sequester. Thank you.
There you go.
So what happened to that? The sequester was supposed to cause all kinds of problems, and it just sort of faded away. And now we have a government shutdown and a sequester. Did the sequester get solved? I don't know how to use sequester in that way.
Are we going to have a government boot?
Oh, look at all the phone calls we're getting now.
Well, have a great night.
Bobson, you've done your job. Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll talk to you later. Bobson always gets the calls to come in. I don't know how he does it. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, where are you calling from?
Setauket,
New York, 11733.
So it's been a long time since I called USB, probably back. Do you remember Mike Girardo?
I sure do. The Beat. Yeah, he did a show called The Beat here on this radio station many years ago. And it was actually inspiration for a number of shows that I was involved in, talk shows, call-in shows, maybe even this one.
Yeah, that was way back in, late 80s, I think.
Something like that, maybe even before then. So you haven't called since then?
Well, I might have. Now and again, probably I have, but not too many times.
Okay. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, anyway, I just thought I'd chime in on your topic, which I have to agree with you fellas.
Okay. On everything? You don't disagree on even one thing?
Well, it's just, yeah, it sort of stands to reason how the Republicans went about this this latest affair. And I think they're going to be regretting the way they handled it, hopefully, you know, in the next election cycles.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the last election I thought was very different because it seemed like the Republicans learned a lesson and that they were just changing the way they were viewing certain issues, such as gay rights or abortion or just the things that they weren't budging on. They realized, you know what, it's a different atmosphere now. We have to adjust. Someone said, this isn't your father's America anymore. And they said it in a non-disparaging way, like, we have to grow up, we have to change. And it's like, you know, less than a year later, they've forgotten all of that. And they're just going right back to the way they were, probably because of ultra-right influence on the Republican Party.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's that faction that's dictating their moves, and yeah, they're exactly going 180 degrees away from the message that they were given, you know, last November. So just going to have to keep at it, and hopefully that sort of rabid, you know, energized minority will go away over time, but it's hard to tell. I thought they would have been long gone, but it actually gained traction. So I don't know. It's getting a little tiring. I don't enjoy, you know, the placards and such that we see at the corner of our local community every Saturday. It's getting a little tiring, to be honest.
Can you tell us something about those for the people listening in other parts of the world?
It's a little group of diehard Tea Partiers that have taken over a local community corner every Saturday now for what? It's been 2009, I believe. But
didn't that start as an anti-war demonstration?
I don't know, honestly. I think, well, I mean, the anti-war folks did. You know, they took the other corner.
Yeah, I think what happened was this was in response to the Iraq War. People stood on a corner. I think it was Route 25A and Bennett's Road. And then in response to that, a bunch of Bush supporters, i.e. Tea Partiers, stood on the other side. And I think they just got louder and bigger, and now it's known as their demonstration.
True. No, you're right. Yep. So,
Which, you know, that's the right way to do it, I guess. You know, They're good at rousing up support and being loud and being noticed. I wish the left did that more. Maybe we wouldn't be in this state now if they did.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think we tend to follow the rules and we did our protesting and such, but you know, I have to say the typical counterparts on the opposite side of the street, I guess I'm more sympathetic to, but I also, you know, I don't know if they are on the mark either with, you know, being just opposed to, you know, any sort of military intervention or military use, but...
I think people are still out there. It's just that as we pause to kind of look at some of these issues and the way it's being handled, and get back in touch with our politicians and really be a bit more critical of the process and what's going on, I think you'll hear more about it. I mean, people are definitely starting to talk about these particular issues and why it's being handled the way it is and ask a lot of questions because it's sad. I mean, that our institutions don't function and continue to get people back on their feet and like have some more growth and prosperity.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there as we are out of time, but I want to thank you for your call. And thanks for listening to USB. And I hope you continue listening for many years to come.
Sure thing, guys.
All right. Take care. And that just about does it for us tonight. God, yeah, you have to unplug that now.
Because, I can hear now.
Yeah, you'd be in delay land. We're out of time, but people, please write to us, otw@2600.com. with your thoughts, opinions, facts, anything like that, experiences you might have at healthcare.gov. Let us know if it works for you.
Or if you have a similar system in another country, we'd love to hear about that as well.
I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep trying to get healthcare, get affordable healthcare. It's my personal struggle. That's what this is all about. And I'll keep you updated as far as that goes. What to go out with? Boy, we labored hard about this, but perhaps a song that has something to do with stubbornness, ideology, people who just simply won't back down. Good night.
This is Donna with your WUSB Concert Billboard for Monday, September 30th. Steely Dan will be at the Beacon Theater. City Winery welcomes James Cotton and Daryl Nullish. Wet Ink Ensemble and Evan Parker will be at Roulette in Brooklyn. American Babies will be at the Brooklyn Bowl, 8 p.m. Naturally 7 will be at the Highline Ballroom. Angela Morris will be at the Two Moon Art House and Cafe in Brooklyn. Signal Brass will be at Spectrum, 9 p.m. Emily Earle will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, 10 p.m. Scuba Tiger with Bud Spadola will be at the Velvet Lounge in Isatawka, 9 p.m. Luke Winslow King and his band will be at Joe's Pub Manhattan, 9:30. Your concert billboard for Tuesday, October 1st. Jim Petterick and the Ides of March will be at B.B. King's, Manhattan, 8 p.m. Steely Dan will be at the Beacon Theater, 8 p.m. The Oliver Lake String Ensemble with special guest Vijay Iyer will be at Roulette in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. David Bromberg Big Band will be at City Winery at 8. Looking ahead to Wednesday, The Flaming Lips and Tame Impala will be at Terminal 5, 8 p.m.
This is the WUSB On Air Concert Billboard. Combined with the Facebook and website versions, with all these choices, You have no excuse to be bored, not even on Monday and Tuesday.
Hey kids, Finn with you. Finn's Revolution till 9 p.m. right here on WUSB Stony Brook. We're going to give away a bunch of CDs tonight. You know why? Because it's College Radio Day. I'm going to read them down real quick and you can just give me a call and get one. Ty Segall, Nico Case, Franz Ferdinand, Arctic Monkeys, Deer Tick, King Khan, and The Shrines. And we'll get to more in a minute. 631-632-6901. Pick a CD. We'll be right back. Hey now, that's right. That was King Khan and the Shrines. Congratulations to Michael from Shirley, who's got a copy of the Nico Case album. What we're doing tonight is we are celebrating, as we do every year, College Radio Day. And the Nico Case album is on the current CMJ charts. And that's where we're pulling today's giveaways from. This is what we currently have available. Ty Segall's new record, Sleeper. Franz Ferdinand's album, Arctic Monkeys. Dear Tick, and we just, and there's going to be more, but also King Khan and the Shrines, who we just heard right here on the station. That was King Khan and the Shrines. What were they doing there? I'm losing track. I'm dealing with so many calls. Oh, they were doing Yes, I Can't from their brand new record, Idle No More. You can get a copy of that right now, or the Ty Segall, or the Franz Ferdinand, or the Arctic Monkeys, or the Dear Tick, or King Khan and the Shrines. Right now, if you give me a call, 631-632-6901. You pick one of those CDs, and if it's not already gone, it's all yours. 631-632-6901. Here's something from another band we're going to give away in a little while. Potty Mouth right here on WUSB Stony Brook.